You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The Snooze Flip is the most universal mattress on the planet, a mattress that is designed to fit everybody and every body. Snooze Mattress is introducing the world's first 4-in-1 mattress where you can choose from soft, firm, cool, or cozy. Flip it to choose your comfort level and zip it with our reversible and washable temperature regulated cover. What you want today might not be what your body needs tomorrow. You buy one mattress to last 8 years, but a lot can change in that amount of time as you get fitter, heavier, and older. Customize your comfort, zip it, flip it, and choose your snooze. Did you know a study at UC Berkeley suggests that couples who struggle to sleep well fight more often? We spend half of our lives asleep, and for some of us, we spend 100% of that time sleeping alongside our significant other. The Snooze Flip Split King would allow couples to customize their sleep for more restful nights and without sleeping in different rooms. Don't sacrifice your sleep for your partner. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Hafley. Going to get into some JT Compher talk today, as well as answering some viewer questions. So it should be a fun, quick little show for you on your Thursday. Should be, yeah, just hanging out, having a good time. AJ,
yo,
how you doing?
It's snow eve up in here.
Yeah, it's going to snow tomorrow.
Finally, you're going to
middle of December is all it took to get some proper snow.
I'm telling you, man. Little snow eve. I'm actually, if I didn't have to go to morning skate, I'd be a lot more excited. But so I'm like, yo, it's going to snow at 6 a.m. All right, just be done by like 8:30.
Yep.
And then we'll be good. I actually don't know what the schedule is. They sent it to us and I forgot to look.
Schedule for me is go to the bar.
Fuck you.
So I get the easy life.
Oh, it's 10:30. That's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. All right.
Holy crap, man. I didn't check my email for one day and I have 33 emails.
Such a slacker.
What in the world?
All right. JT Compher scheduled to return to the Avs lineup in tomorrow's game. What are your expectations here, AJ? Because Compher has missed a significant amount of time. The Avs are, it's unclear exactly how healthy Nazem Kadri is right now.
So returning Jacob McDonald and Jason Magna to the Eagles today.
Yeah.
There's always little hints in the AHL. Like when the Eagles started sending guys back to the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I saw that too. Like, I was like, some people about to get sent down.
That's right. So they sent those two guys down. McDonald played defense last night, which is notable. Just because both McDonald and McDermott could be either one. Yeah,
can play both.
Yeah. McDermott played a grand total of like 3.5 minutes, something like that, last night.
Yep.
It makes it tough to feel like, oh, they'll definitely play him defensively as the sixth guy on defense.
Right. Feels like a pretty quick way to be the 13th forward, but...
Yeah. But I'm not sure, like, without knowing exactly what the plan is there, because they, with no McDonald, And Byram, if Byram is still hurt.
Right. Someone has to play that D spot.
Right. Then you're talking, you're either rolling 5D and 13 forwards, which is just unnecessary, or you're rolling Curtis McDermott on defense, which also feels unnecessary. So it's kind of a strange thing. I know this is about JT Comper, but really, like, when you sit down and you start to look at the forward core here, I'm going to assume, and again, I always do this, and sometimes it goes okay.
You hear otherwise, yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't. I'm going to assume that Kadri's a go for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It just seems like they wouldn't have sent Megna down if they weren't planning on having Kadri available.
I agree with that.
They could always call somebody up. It's 5 o'clock right now, so they could always call somebody up right
in
now.
In the middle of the show, as they love to do.
Yeah, well, so 5 o'clock is...
it's when the next day rolls over.
Yeah, that's when the money day rolls over. So if the apps call somebody up now, they don't have to pay them for the rest of today. They start paying them for tomorrow. So they could always do that. But it seems like, you know, if they were going to do that, Megna would have been the guy because Kadri's a center.
Right. Why even send him down at that point?
I should say they've been playing Megna as a center. Yeah. And with Kadri at center, it just seemed like that would have been the guy that just stuck around. But when you go through their forward core, if they have Kadri, your top six feels pretty set. Now, whether or not Burakovsky's in that top six or it's Logan O'Connor in that top six, I can't believe we're saying this, but
here we are.
Whatever.
Right.
With the success that Abe Kubela's had, you know, this, because I think he's kind of the linchpin to this conversation. Abe Kubela's 5 points in 11 games in Colorado. I mean,
realistically, we're targeting Comfer for return to the third line, right? Or, and if not the third, then the fourth. It's unlikely you're going to see him towards the top six.
Well, so we saw Darren Helm
take third line minutes the other with night. Yeah.
Newhook and Burakovsky.
Yeah.
If you just put Comfer there, you probably feel better about that, right?
Significantly so.
And then you have Helm with Jost and Abe Kubel on your fourth line, and you actually feel pretty good about that fourth line.
Yep. That's
in theory. The reality is that Tyson Jost seems to go, you know, when he plays in the third line, he looks solid. I think Tyson Jost kind of is who Tyson Jost is. I'm done dreaming.
Yep.
And I'm fully into the acceptance stage of, like, there won't be a next step. This is just who he's going to be. And I'm good with that. But I was going through Darren Helm's game logs last night. Because I put in the grades. When he's next to poor line mates, he produces poor results. When he gets up and he plays a game with better line mates, he has better results. He doesn't drive anything. He doesn't seem to personally impact anything. He just sort of seems to, whatever his line mates are doing, he does. And so if you put him with Jason Megna and Curtis McDermott, he doesn't do very well. If you put him with Alex Newhook and Andre Burakovsky, they produce pretty good metrics overall, together.
Yeah.
But Darren Helm, you watch the game and you're like,
he's dead weight on this line. Yeah.
What did name one thing that he did other than that weird thing on the PK where he danced around and then lost the puck and created a scoring chance for the Rangers power play?
He deflected the Rangers' first goal.
Yeah, right. The first goal goes off his skate. And also he had that one shot in front poor kid actually made a nice save on. But other than that, it's like
not a whole lot.
Yeah, like there's not a lot going on there. So I think Comfer slides into some configuration there where if you have Comfer, Burakovsky, and Newhook, you have significantly more goal scoring than just about any other third line. Like your upside there is a lot higher, especially when you consider that two-thirds of that could easily be your second line next season.
Yep.
So I think that's probably where I would start with Comfer. Now, if they want to move the lines, you know, whatever they want to do with O'Connor, you know, O'Connor scored two goals last night, but neither one of them had anything to do with his line mates.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, oh, well, he played up on the line and he produced, you know, like he scored two goals independent of his teammates that were just great solo efforts. so it's It's tough to really like kind of give him that credit, but also it would be weird if you. He won't be on the fourth line. Like LOC is going to be somewhere in your top nine right now. I think the idea of a LOC Newhook Burakovsky third line is really, really fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of configurations. Thank you for the super chat, Brooks. Lost a good buddy of mine today to COVID. He loved the Avs and Denver sports. Wanted to give a shout out to him on the pod. He watched post game pods. Hold your fam close, DNVR family. R.I.P. Eric. Yeah, that, sorry to hear that, man.
We hate that. We hate never, that news.
Never good news. Yeah,
hate the news. All love to his family though, and to you for giving him the shout out and remembering him, and you know. Our lost ones live on through us. Yep. So, you know,
very much so. On back to the pod, weird transition.
Yeah.
Always is. JT Compher. Yeah. What are we expecting out of roles here? Because you've already talked about Logan O'Connor certainly is producing too much to be a fourth line player. Alex Newhook has been producing very, very effectively for the Avs in this stint. How do you see that line of call it Newhook, Berkey, and Compher functioning? Is Newhook the distributor there?
Yeah. I think, well, especially because when you look at where Newhook is scoring from, sure. it's in the slot on the power play.
Yeah.
At even strength, you'd like to see, and like Compher is kind of odd because they keep forcing him at center and it's not great. Obviously the 5 goals that he had in 12 games to start this year, like he was one of the only guys that was doing anything while he was playing.
Yep.
Things have changed
drastically
a lot since JT Compher went out of the lineup. So, I'm actually just as curious. I'm curious to the answer to your question, to be honest.
We'll see.
Because with the way that they've used the way that Bednar has utilized Compher in recent years, it's all over the lineup.
Yep.
And I made the point last night that they're using LOC as a more effective JT Compher right now. And so when JT Compher himself comes back,
he's been a little.
What do you do?
Just the guy who goes all over the lineup.
Right? Yeah, yeah, like what do you do? This is where you're like, well, JT Compher for Jake DeBrusk is right there for both teams.
Just make it happen,
right? Like that's like I'm nothing against JT, but it's like the money works, the role works. DeBrusk plays on your left side. They get somebody to replace Eric Howlow, who kind of sucks now. Like. You know, like it's right there for both teams if they just want to make that phone call and go, yeah, all right, cool. Let's try it.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't work, you can always just swap them back at the deadline. It's fine. That's how hockey works. No, I'm curious where they envision Compher. Cause they when he got hurt, he was a huge part of their offense.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, he was
not the
leading scorer for a hot second there. So
yeah, now since he got hurt, they haven't had any problems.
All right. Well, if you're curious where your partner envisions your man parts, hit up Manscaped. Get 20% off. Use code DNVR at checkout, and you can get the perfect package 4.0 with free shipping. It's got all the tools you need to make your vision come true for whatever you want it to look like. They got obviously the Lawnmower 4.0, but they got things like toner. They got the deodorants. They got now body wash and shampoo and everything. You can take care of your entire body, man. Manscaped's got the whole gamut of tools for you to use. So you're feeling fresh, clean,
and nice. Crop cleanser.
Look at that. The crop cleanser right there. You're good to go. So hit up Manscaped. Use that DNVR code to get 20% off. And, of course, hit
also,
up
our... Oh, if you get if you buy Manscaped, you buy like one of their things, you can get one of these too. It's a travel case.
Yeah, the nice little travel case for everything. It's super nice too.
Dude, I always forget when I travel that we're gonna take the tag off of this and I'm just gonna start utilizing this. Because it's super nice and it's big, it's very spacious, it's great. It's exactly what you want for a little carrier case for some of your some of your hygiene products.
All right. Hit up DraftKings Sportsbook as well right now. If you bet $1 on any NFL game and either team scores a singular point, you get $100 in free bets when you sign up with a new account with code DNVR. So just go get yourself, go get yourself $100 in free bets with DraftKings that you can bet on whatever you want, whether it be Kale McCarr to win the Norris or Jokic to be MVP, whatever you want to bet on. They got you covered for pretty much anything under the sun. The other day, I saw actually there was some, I don't know what, it's just, they called it bowls. It's indoor, like, lawn bowling, essentially. You've never seen that?
No, but I am definitely intrigued. Tell me more.
So,
this is the next thing we're betting on.
So I don't actually know what the rules to bocce ball are, but I think it's basically bocce ball.
Okay.
In fact, it is bocce ball based on this picture that I just pulled up. If you know what bocce ball is, you don't?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
This is somehow totally foreign to me. I've never heard of any of this.
It's like, so it's kind of like shuffleboard in some ways. All right. So there's a tiny ball that's like, I don't know how long the like bowling lane is, but it's a fairly long, it's like 50 feet or something away from you, right? Where there's a tiny ball out there and you have to roll these larger balls and get it close to the tiny, as the closest you can to the tiny ball. So I guess it's kind of like curling on a lawn.
Oh, is that the sport that they play where that guy has the ball and it rolls all the way around and it, I'm familiar now. Okay. I didn't know what that was called. I was just like, what's the super talented blonde gentleman doing?
Yeah, that's it's called, they're calling it bowls on DraftKings. So hit up DraftKings.
Cool, man.
Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNBR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. We got some questions to answer from many different people on Twitter. Also, the chat can jump in and do some questions too. I'm sure we'll hit up some of their questions. Anything you really wanted to jump on, AJ? Anywhere you wanted to start? I know we have a bunch more that came in since we started the show, so I got to kind of look through a few of them.
I think we should start with the goaltending just because I got probably four questions alone regarding what the Avs are going to do with goaltending at the deadline. Which, first of all, fam,
it's December 9th. December.
Like, I know everybody wants an answer on what they are going to do. You want the real answer about what they're going to do at goaltending at the deadline is, it depends completely on what happens in the next 3 months. But with Kemper and Frankie both getting healthy and coming back in the next week for Frankie, and Kemper's already back, they're going to have, for the first time since the bubble, they're going to have two healthy goaltenders. And maybe even before that, because Frankie was dinged up when they went into the Edmonton bubble.
Yep.
He already was having some hip problems. So it's been a long time since the Avs have had two healthy goalies. And you remember when play stopped, Grubauer wasn't healthy because Ian Cole ran over him at the Stadium Series. So it's been a long time since the Avs have had two healthy goalies. They're 1-2, actually truly healthy. So now that I've said this, I've gone ahead and put it out into the world.
For sure, yeah.
You know. Tyler Bertuzzi runs over Darcy Kemper tomorrow and hurts him.
Well,
guaranteed.
And the other thing I would say there is, we've talked a lot. This was true of Grubauer. This is seemingly true across a lot of goaltenders that get with new teams. You kind of have those first 20 games where they're still adjusting to the new team and getting them to play the way that they want in front of them to a certain extent. So December, I think, is going to be a month to really pay attention to Darcy Kemper and see if he starts consistently throwing down those quality games, and then you can start to make decisions when you get into January, February about whether the Avs need to do something in goal or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, like, both of these guys are in contract years. They're not just auditioning for the role of NHL goaltender next year. they're auditioning for the role of Avalanche goaltender next year. So, because the Avs have first crack at bringing those guys, at either one of these guys back if they want to. And if both of them get healthy and really, like, Kemper misses, what?
Not even a full week. I guess 5 games at most.
It just wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Really goes to show you how things have changed in the way that we handle concussions these days, huh? he misses a week, and it was just like, okay, well, mostly it's, just being it, safe.
It was only a week, no biggie.
Yeah. But anyway, that's those guys are going to get first crack, and like you're kidding yourself if you don't think Pavel Francouz is a big part of that conversation. They've waited, you know, they gave him a 2-year deal and have gotten 0 games out of that contract so far because he missed all of last year and so far hasn't played. So they want to see some return on that first before they start trying to trade for Marc-Andre Fleury, which is the obvious answer here is if things aren't going well and Marc-Andre Fleury is playing even decent hockey, you definitely call Chicago and at least see what's up there about trying to get him. Considering they gave nothing for him.
Yep.
It just couldn't be an exorbitant price at the deadline to pry him out of there.
You would think not.
So, and I think that's the obvious answer is that you get a guy where, hey, maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. I will say very, very, very few starting goaltender moves at the deadline have ever worked out.
Yeah.
So you're fighting against history on that one. Not to say that that's a good reason not to do it. Just we're talking about how Darcy Kemper struggles, you know, and new goaltenders struggle. Well, guess what you get when you trade for a goaltender at the trade deadline? You get a new goaltender, except you only get a quarter of the season for him to adjust.
Yeah. It's get in and go right away.
Yeah. So it's tough sledding. I mean, I would say the most successful recent example of a major goaltending move at the deadline was probably Robin Lehner. And there's a bit of an asterisk there in that it took him 2 years to take the job.
Had another guy that was pretty okay in net right next to him.
Yeah. So it's, we really have to just see. I know it's not a fun answer. Well, you really have to see how these guys play. There's no reason to go out and spend assets and then turn around and watch Mark or watch Darcy Kemper, you know, do the thing that you want him to do. No doubt it's been unacceptable to this point. And if it doesn't get better, you have to do something. But that's what you have the next few months for.
Yep. All right. Next question. This one's from Steph. Fave cold weather drink, and what's your top 3 ideal goals for this next chunk of 10 games that the Avs are in? Examples such as number of wins, someone breaks out, Darcy's save percentage numbers, whatever. I actually don't like most hot drinks.
Same.
So it would just be like a normal drink, like a beer or something.
Mine's it's nothing special, but when I'm cold, dude, I'll throw down with some hot chocolate.
Yeah, it's too chocolatey for me.
Yeah, I don't like none of that dark chocolate shit.
Sure.
I can't do that, dude. That's too much. It's just not it. But you throw in like a little bit of Swiss Miss with some milk.
Yeah.
I'll throw it down.
It's not really a drink, but when it's really cold, I'm actually a sucker for a Dairy Queen Blizzard.
I also, when it's cold outside, I also get ice cream.
Bites. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Next chunk of games for the Avs are already 2-0-1 in this set of games. Yeah. So pretty good start, to say the least.
I was thinking about this earlier, actually.
Yeah.
Just this, because this is a thing that we've actively been tracking this year. So,
yep. I think kind of what I already talked about in December, I'm not going to give you any specific numbers because it's hard to do that, but you would like to see Darcy kind of lock it in as the starting goaltender for the Avs.
That's my number one goal, is for Darcy Kemper to start to look like Darcy Kemper that you thought you were getting.
Yep.
The other thing, Bowen Byram to get healthy.
Yeah, that would be a big one for sure.
And, you know, Fleury just hasn't been very good in Chicago. He hasn't been bad either.
I mean, Chicago just hasn't been very good. Let's be real.
Yeah. No, for sure. But there's always this thing when a goaltender that you like is on a bad team where you're just like, oh, well, if he gets to a good team, magically he'll be good again. And it's just like, well, life doesn't work that way. Anyway, I hadn't actually looked at Fleury's stuff this year. It hasn't been bad. It just hasn't been very good. It's mostly neutral. So Byram to get healthy, Kemper to solidify anything. Is there anything else really high on the wish list? Alex Newhook to really just keep doing the thing.
Keep doing it. I get at least 12 points out of the 10 game stretch. He already got 5.
Yeah.
You got to win. I'd say.
I think so. So you're
win 4 of 7 here.
You want 7 points out of the next 7 games, you said?
Yeah. Do you play 500 hockey at least, which really they should be better than that, but
yeah. But I mean, when, again, this is what happens when you win games. You put yourself in a position where you're like, "Oh, if you have a lull,
it's okay. Yeah. It's not going to crush you."
Yeah. Do you remember when we were at the start? The Avs were what, 2-4 at the start of the season?
Yeah, that was a slow start.
They've gone
1-2 for sure. Yeah.
Since then, I think they were 2-4, and then since then they've gone 12-3-2. So that's a little
good. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Definitely. So I'm excited about where the team is headed, and especially when they've just dealt with nonstop injury issues and have fought through pretty admirably. So
An interesting question here from Ensign Ricky. Is the relevance and quality of depth prospects in the CHL declining? It seems like there's a lot of high-end talent, but USHL, college, Europe seem to be much more common routes of late.
I don't know that the talent is declining. I think that the scouting has changed.
Yep.
I think that I think the USHL has had an influx of talent in recent years.
Yep.
I also think that the way that scouting has changed is that guys who are 5'7" or 5'8" off at forward and defense are getting looked at more seriously.
Way more draftable prospects.
Yep. And that just opens up the field a little bit more when you're only eyeballing the guys who are playing top 4 roles and who are 6'2" and whatever, like you just kind of narrow it down. You start cutting guys off here.
Well,
And then you start looking at the CHL, and instead of using a draft pick on a guy that's on the third line in the CHL, you're using draft picks on guys who are in impact roles in the USHL.
Right. And it's
just a little different.
The game has never been more global, and it's the draft is no longer this world where teams have their list of 100 dudes. You get into the third, fourth round, and you just go to the CHL and take a kid. It's not like that anymore.
It's really not. You're seeing more guys come out of like the SM Liga.
Yep.
We're talking like Finnish juniors. Russian juniors has become a place that teams are actually
mining for talent,
putting a lot of resources into, because it was hard enough to draft guys out of the KHL before, because you just didn't know if they were going to come to North America. Well, now if you're looking at, hey, I'm going to draft you're trying to find the next Kirill Kaprizov. You've got a 5th round pick. You're going to draft a guy that's deep in a Russian league somewhere, but you like his game, versus a CHL guy that just put up 13 points in his draft season, and you're just kind of like, where's the upside here? You know, which guy can you really try and translate into something? So we're seeing teams put resources into leagues that they previously didn't.
And this is not to take away from the CHL. This year's CHL class is insane.
Yeah.
You have Shane Wright, Matt Savoy, Connor Geeky. Like, the top end of the CHL is absolutely out of control.
Yeah.
But,
and like, the CHL goes through cycles just like all the other leagues. You know, I mean, you had the USNTDB had, I think, 14 guys get drafted out of its team.
Yep.
Just a couple of years ago, you know. So since that happened, naturally, it's taken some time.
It's not going to be that big of a
So it's just I think you put it perfectly. The game is more global than ever, and resources are being expended in more leagues than ever. I mean, how many Germans have been drafted highly in the last few years?
Between Sider and Paterka and
Stutzla and Reichel and you know, like, it just there's a lot of guys that are coming out of Germany now. And I can't stress enough, guys getting pulled out of the Finnish juniors. Tons of them. Tons of them. You look at the bottom of the draft classes the last couple of years, and there are so many junior European kids. The other thing about the CHL, and I think that this is another factor here, is that if you draft a guy out of the CHL, you have 2 years to make a decision on whether or not you want to give him an ELC.
Yep.
If you draft a guy out of Europe, you draft a guy out of the USHL, you draft a college kid, all these other leagues, you have 4 years to decide if that guy is good enough. And
significantly more time,
especially if you're drafting goaltenders. It's hard to know after 2 years. Look at Trent Miner as a great example. He had a great year, got drafted. Everybody was really hyped. His D+1 wasn't any good.
Yep.
We were like, he's not getting a contract. D+2, COVID happens. And without him throwing up shutouts left and right in the WHL bubble, the way that he did, he probably doesn't get a contract. It took him having the run of his life to get a deal. And that's just, it's just reality there. So I think the ELC factor is, it does play a role, but I just think that teams are
just more globalized.
Yeah. They're just scouting better than ever.
All right. Well, we are brought to y'all by Chevalier Mortgage. Both Mike and Virginia have been in the business for a very long time and can help you find the right home loan for you, because Mike is a certified financial planner. So it's not just about getting a good rate. It's about finding what fits with your financial picture. He'll go in and make sure you're all covered, getting all of the good stuff there. You can visit them at dnvrmortgage.com where you get a free consultation and your chance to win some free DNVR merch, or call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578. Even if you already own your own home, there's a good chance you can make the bubble work for you by doing things like having your mortgage insurance. That's what it's called, right? Yeah, mortgage insurance. You can use that to refinance and make the bubble, again, work for you. Again, visit them at dnvrmortgage.com. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. When you get into your new home, go hit up Hassel Cattle Company. Get yourself some delicious steaks for dinner. You can get their burgers if that's your thing. The Wagyu is delicious. It makes it cook so nicely with that marbled fat in there. It's really just amazing, amazing meat. But you can also get ribeyes or sirloins or fillets or whatever you want as far as steak is concerned. And you can get 15% off right now for the holidays when you use code DNBR15. So hit up HasselCattleCompany.com before it's too late. Get yourself some delicious dinners. And, of course, brought to you all by Green Mountain Dental Group, the best family dentist in the Denver metro area. Just 15 minutes from downtown over in Lakewood. You can get a free Sonicare toothbrush when you get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them. So go take care of your teeth, and they'll help you do that at home with the free Sonicare toothbrush. They're super good at what they do, and they're very kind and will remind you of when you have events coming up with them, so you don't miss any of your appointments. All right, third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Any questions you pick it out, AJ, or do you want me to just keep going here?
Toss another one. I'll see if I can find one that I really like.
Okay.
Because a lot of these are, what do you do about all the free agents at the end of the year? And who do you want to see the Avs trade for at the deadline?
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's hard to really provide that answer early.
It's sorry, genuinely everybody. Fascinating to me that when we're in the summer, everybody wants to know what the lines are going to be during the year. And then when we're in the season, everybody wants to know who they're going to sign in the summer.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about right now.
Right now don't matter unless it's the playoffs, basically, and you're in them. All right. Let's see. Let's go with, I guess we'll talk about this one. Pretty simple one. What is up with the PK?
Goaltending.
Yeah.
Number one. What's one of hockey's oldest adages? Your goaltender has to be your best penalty killer.
Yep.
It's not happening right now. What happened? Look at what happened last night. They give up a goal that Kemper, you know, we didn't love it from Kemper. I know there were some people who were like, what can he do about that? But, you know, there's always that one guy who says that about every single goal. but it's like, you see, he settled in and made some nice saves later on. You just need saves. Like, if you go and you dig into the numbers, like the chances that they give up, the shots that they give up, the expected goals, and all the metrics that you can compare PKs, Colorado's is okay. It's not great, but the biggest thing that they're not getting is help from the goaltending. They're not getting saved. The three areas of the team that are just the worst right now is the goals against, the expected, the PK, and just your like general scoring chances, I would say, against. And two of those, you just wrap them up in goaltending. It just has to be better. If you get,
certainly can't separate out the goaltending from everything else.
Yeah, it just has too big of a impact on what you do, who you are, how successful you are at doing any of the stuff you want to try and do.
All right. Next one from Patrick. How much of this onslaught of goals is a product of puck luck or a team finding their offensive groove? Conversely, is our defensive woes more on the forwards not helping back check or defense overcommitting, which opens up the backdoor passes? Look, I'll go to my grave saying the Avs scoring at this rate is not sustainable. But if it keeps happening, great.
Like, somebody tweeted at me and did ask, like, are we not making enough of the run that they're on? And I would say yes. You and I have spent so much time saying this is not sustainable that we've sort of forgotten to just be like,
it's actually insane how many goals they've scored in the last 13 games. Yeah.
Like, only one other team has done this in the last 30 years. Yep. Like, had this kind of insane, unbelievable, high-scoring run. We have absolutely not given it its proper due for it just being fucking nuts. The fact that half of it came without Nathan MacKinnon, it just doesn't make any sense. I understand that they played a string of not very good teams and some not great goaltending situations, but you know what? All the other teams get to play those teams too and don't do this shit.
Yep.
So it's insane what they've been doing.
Let's live in a world where I believe this is sustainable for a second.
It kind of, so historically speaking, this last 13 games and all that, no. But where the Avs are at on the whole, when you consider the whole season, it's been done.
Like the 1980s Oilers.
It's not, though. It's the 2018-19 Lightning had a shooting percentage and a goals per game right where the Avs are right now. Their goals per game is quite a bit higher. But their shooting percentage, their actual just shooting percentage, it's the highest in the NHL, but it's also not like out of the realm of possibility that a team does this. Both the 2009 and 2010 Caps and the 2018-19 Tampa Bay Lightning had similar shooting percentages to what this Avs team does right now across an entire season, and are two of the highest scoring teams in the last since the lockout.
Sure.
Since 05. So that's kind of the measuring stick, because it's not fair to compare them to a team in 1992. It just isn't. It's just a different league.
Yeah. So maybe you can talk about the shooting percentage being sustainable.
Yeah.
I don't believe that the number of goals getting scored is, but
At like 4.2 right now per game, and the other teams that were those two teams that I named were at like 3.85.
And
so there's still a pretty big gap.
Not saying it's impossible that this team could keep it up at over 4 goals per game, but it would be pretty monumental to do that in the modern NHL.
Yeah.
It would be
across 82 games would be insane. About
this as the greatest offense maybe ever if they did that.
It would be insane, especially when you consider like It's not even the forwards that are doing it. If right. you look
the
at
Avs,
it,
the Avs are leading in defensive scoring. They're just crushing the rest
well,
of the league.
You open up a box score. If you go to NHL.com right now and you open up a box score and you just Vegas beat Dallas last night 5-4. Okay. I'm opening up this box. I haven't actually looked at this. So this is literally
a
me
random
just doing
box
this.
Score.
Yeah. Okay. So Vegas got 2-4. They got 6 points out of their defense and Dallas got 4. So this was probably a bad example. But that's a ton of production each team got from their defense, right? Yep. You open up Colorado's from last night. They scored 7 goals and they got 2, 4, 5, 6. They got 7 points out of their defense. Well, 6 because Curtis McDermott was playing forward.
Sure.
So they get 6 points. They get 6 points out of their defense on a night where they score 7 goals. Okay, now go back through any of those three teams' box scores and see which one of these happens.
With the Avs, it happens regularly.
Right. You look at how their defense is producing.
Yep.
And you look, Cale Makar is 23 points in 20 games. Devon Toews is 17 points in 14 games. Sam Girard is the bum here with 14 points in 21 games. Let me repeat that Sam Girard is the bum of that group by a lot, and he's on pace for a 48-point season.
I mean, you're even talking about accessory pieces. Obviously, Byram, when he's healthy, 9 points in 13 games.
Right.
EJ has quietly pushed up to the double-digit point mark with 10 points in 23 games.
This is prime EJ level of production. Yeah. We were like, we'll take 10 or 15 points out of Eric Johnson.
Dude's on a 35-point pace right now. So
Jack Johnson has 5 points. And if you watch Jack Johnson do anything with the puck, you're like, how does he have any?
So it's just it really is incredible how productive their defense has been.
And it's the top guys. It's those top three guys that are and Byram.
Yep.
It's really those four guys, like, because when healthy, Byram has been insane. These guys they're producing essentially the kind of production that you either get out of a top line or a second line.
Yep.
You don't need a third line of forwards to give you points if you have a defense that is another second line for you. It's fucking broken, man.
I have no argument to that. Cale Makar is... I wonder how many, like, top line forwards Cale Makar is outproducing this year, because I'll bet it's a bunch.
Devon Toews is outproducing Andrei Burakovsky.
It's
totally nuts.
Yep, it's and ridiculous. Then, truly.
By the way, you have your third line center. It's given you 9 points in 14 games this year.
Not bad. Not
you bad. You know how we're always like, oh, this has got to stop at some point. It's because it's unheard of. This doesn't happen. When teams score like this, it's because, like, five dudes, usually four of them are forwards, are just insanely good.
Yep.
And instead, it's just like, oh yeah, yeah. You know the guy that nobody has really talked about too much. This, I mean, I say that, but I keep talking about him. But right now, 82 game point pace for Gabe Landeskog. If he were to play 82 games and he kept up this point pace, you know how many points he would have this year?
Nope.
101.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I feel every time that I drop one of these stats, I'm telling you, I feel like that David Blaine video where I just look at the camera. And the NHL is just screaming at me, stop putting orange soda in our bodies. It's so ridiculous, man. Like, it's just, it's so ridiculous, the run that they're on right now.
It really is.
It's incredibly fun. And the fact that we're kind of being Debbie Downers, being like, this can't continue, and we just keep expecting it to end every night, has probably stolen us of some, has stolen some of the joy of just watching it from some of us. But dude, it's insane. It truly is insane.
It really is. And I've tried to make a point of that in my videos too. As much as I don't believe it's sustainable, take a minute and recognize you're watching something special happen right now.
Oh, is Devon Tames going to score 80 points this year? Before the season started, you would have been like, bro, come on. But right now, like, it's still like, bro, come on. But you're also like, it's 17 points in 14 games. What's going on here?
Yep. So it's been an absolute blast. We do have to wrap this one up. You go check out our Nuggets pregame. But if you have any final question you want to hit AJ, fire away. But
somebody asked me about Nick Paul, and I would just like to say why. He's a great defensive player, but it's the same thing as Tyson Jost at this point.
Sure.
A really good defensive. He doesn't win enough faceoffs for me to be like, oh, he can at least be that specialist for you. It's, you know, he doesn't do anything offensively. His defense is great, but it's at the same level as Tyson Jost's. So I would say I'm good. The difference would be he's a lot bigger than Tyson Jost, but he's not really that much more physical. So
yeah. Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to get out of here. We appreciate all y'all helping out with asking questions and doing this weird show where this one had to be late, but you know where you can find us. Like and subscribe here on YouTube. We'll be back tomorrow with pregame and postgame. That will be Jesse Blaze and I believe you're at the game, right, AJ?
We're figuring that out, but okay. There will be a pregame of three of us.
It will be me. It will be Blaze. It will be one of Jesse and AJ.
Yeah.
So tune in for the pregame, the postgame. Keep your eyes peeled, eyes posted. We got some other stuff coming up. I believe our next watch along is the 19th for people interested in those. So yeah.
Tampa Bay.
Yep. Should be a fun one.
That's the 18th.
Is it the 18th? No. All right. Well, I'm bad at days. Hope to see y'all in the next one. Until then, we will talk to you all later.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.